outrageous. They're awful.
I made a big mistake the other night. I put on this thing called the Golden Globe Awards.
Buccaneers fans, here he is, postseason style, Ira Kaufman, the sage of Tampa Bay sports, on the podcast that bears his name. He's the Baron of Big Storm Beer, Mr. Bill Curry Ford himself, the king of Newport Richie, Uncle Ira, the custodian of Canton. He's actually flying to Canton next week for the Hall of Fame sit-down, the annual voting and the whole process next week. But first, Sage, we've got a game on Monday night. The Bucs are in the playoffs. Exciting times, and very exciting times at Bill Curry Ford, which presents all of Ira's work at JoeBucksFan.com. Bill Curry Ford, they got that lifetime warranty on all new vehicles. It's fantastic. You can check out all the details of the program at BillCurryFord.com. You buy a new vehicle, you get roadside assistance for 10 years. You get certain maintenance included. It's incredible. BillCurryFord.com. Get the Ira Kaufman discount. GM Sean Sullivan will help you personally, give you guidance. They've got great inventory, and the whole dealership is just wrapping up this incredible redesign. A lot of it's open, but not all of it. Big grand opening plan later this month. Bill Curry Ford, they are family owned, which means a lot. There aren't many of those left, and you get that family touch at all times. Reach out to Sean Sullivan, and he'll give you that Ira Kaufman discount. They've also got 2023 leases on Ford F-150 hybrids, Ira. Great deal there, $399 a month. Check it all out at BillCurryFord.com. Florida's Elite Restoration, Sage, you know, the storm's coming. Bottom line, blowing through here in a matter of minutes. Before we finish this podcast and get it published, Sage, you know, storm damage hits and your life changes. You got to call Florida's Elite Restoration immediately. Sage, is that in your phone, ready to go?
It's one of my favorites. It's right under your name, Steve, the next name.
So under disaster, you got me. I appreciate that, Ira. Florida's EliteRestoration.com. Get there now and see all of what they do, flood, fire, mold, whatever it is. They'll restore your property, but call them first before you call your insurance company. They will make sure you don't get ripped off by your insurance company. They'll give you a free evaluation at your property with all the latest technology. And if you need them and you move forward, they are the ones to use. And they'll give you $500 back if when you first call, you mention Ira Kaufman or Joe Bucks fan. They are on standby 24/7 to help you out. Family owned, owner Josh Martin, great guy, big fan of the Sage. Ira hangs out with him in Publix all the time. And, So you know you're getting somebody close to Ira, and they service the whole Bay Area, but they're family-owned and not so big that you can't get amazing service. And we'll talk more about Big Storm Beer and Spirits later, Ira. They're the official beer of the Ira Kaufman podcast. That is Big Storm Beer. Sage, you know, I think I'm like a lot of Bucks fans, Ira, and you're going to have to sort of help me. Where do you see the state of this Bucks team right now after that game on Sunday? Playoff game, winnable playoff game coming up on Monday. I mean, how should we feel as Bucks fans? Where are we?
Well, I think it's a fantastic matchup from a Buck perspective. I mean, you want to play the Eagles or you want to play another NFC team that hasn't lost 5 out of 6 and is all banged up and has a terrible defense. Now, guys, when the announcements were made about the timing of these games and the 6 games, I'm going to speak personally. I don't know how you guys feel, but I wasn't happy with the Monday night. I wasn't happy with it for a specific reason. Not just because it's a night game. No big deal.
Bedtime?
No, I got to leave for Atlanta the next morning. The next morning, I got to leave for Atlanta. So, you know, if Isbitz will spring for a hotel room in downtown Tampa, I'll be a happy camper. Otherwise, getting home at 2, you know, my bag will be packed and get back in the car a few hours later and start heading to Tampa Airport. But these are the things that happen, Lee. The one thing I think we can say with certainty, and Steve's the expert on this. He knows everything that's going on from a ticketing standpoint at Ray J going into these games. Lee, there's going to be 15,000 Eagle fans. I mean,
oh yeah,
same thing if they were playing the Bears, Packers, Giants. And that's just the way it is. I'm curious to hear Steve tell me what the ticket situation is, if he knows it. But it's a great matchup from a Buck perspective. Lee, they're all banged up. Now, look, is Hurts going to play? Of course he's going to play. He's got an injured finger on his throwing hand. It's not broken. It's not fractured. He's going to play. If Mayfield can play with bruised ribs, He can play with a sore finger. A.J. Brown, Devonta Smith, they're a mess, Lee. And if you think Bowles was taking some heat in October and November, which he was from Buck Nation and this podcast, it doesn't even compare. It pales in comparison to what's going on in the city of brotherly love. Lee, they're ready to dump Sirianni. I mean, we're not a year removed from the Super Bowl where, you know, they came very close to winning it all. All of a sudden, the guy doesn't know how to coach. Certainly, there's going to be coaching changes in Philly if they lose this game. But, Lee, the Eagles are still favored. And I'll say this, Lee, heading into our discussion. On paper, I don't really know if that counts at this point. On paper, the Eagles are a better team. Like, they're better.
Yeah.
We saw them in week three. I think the score was 25-3 in the fourth quarter. Wasn't much of a game. But this doesn't look like the same 10-1 team. I'd be hard pressed to remember a year where the wheels fell off a team as good as the Eagles. You know, you look at the 08 Bucks, Lee, 9-3, lost their last four. That team didn't have the roster of the Eagles. I mean, the Eagles are supposed to be loaded. So the Bucks are a vibrant underdog. I think Tampa Bay, you could argue, Lee, plays better on the road than they do at home, but we'll see. I think a key, I'm going to go out right now and start it off, Lee, and throw this at your feet. I think a big key to this game is putting a spy on Hurts in terms of his scrambling. Lee, he scored 15 rushing touchdowns. 15. That's a big number. That's a Josh Allen number. And he's half the Eagle offense. With his legs. Now, he's not having a great year throwing the ball. He was the runner-up MVP last year for a reason. I'm a little concerned about him scrambling, you know, third and eight. He runs 11 yards. Those things, they're backbreakers. They're killers. I'm looking for a shadow, and I think it could be Devin White.
Well, you gave me a lot of meat on the bone to respond to there, Ira. As far as the Monday night game, I'm not surprised. I didn't expect Monday night. I did expect a primetime game. Because I knew that the Bucs were going to play Dallas or they're going to play Philly. I knew that. A network in 2025 or 2024, damn, I'm getting a year ahead of myself already. In 2024, they're going to put the teams that get the most eyeballs in prime time. That would be an NFC team. NFC East, I should say. And the Eagles bring eyeballs. The Giants bring eyeballs. The Cowboys certainly bring eyeballs. I was very confident the Bucs are going to have a primetime game. I didn't think it was going to be Monday night. But along those lines, Ira, you need to start slapping some people around these Hall of Fame selectors. Who's the imbecile decided to have this meeting the night after a Monday night game? They knew there was going to be a Monday night football game. The NFL put that out a year ago. They didn't know that, number one. Number two, they used to have these meetings at the site of the Super Bowl. The Super Bowl's in the greatest city in America, Las Vegas. And these numbskulls putting that in it? What the hell? That's completely screwed up in so many ways. So your beef isn't with the NFL. Your beef isn't with me and Steve. Your beef is with those clowns who decide to have a meeting the morning after a playoff game.
Lee, to be fair, the meeting doesn't start till mid-afternoon on Tuesday, and then we meet all day Wednesday. But, you know, people have to get there. Some people have you know, connecting flights. They're coming from the West Coast or something. So, you know, you're not going to leave at 1 o'clock to get to a meeting that starts at 3:30. You make the best of it, Lee. I don't live 3 hours away from the airport. I'm going to do what I got to do.
Sage, a few things real quick. First, on the game, I was actually a little surprised that they got a night game just because of all the other matchups. The Packers and Cowboys is an afternoon game. That's going to get more eyeballs than the Eagles and the Bucks. You know, the Rams and the Lions, those are gargantuan markets. And Patrick Mahomes, you knew, would get a night game. So I was just kind of surprised by that. As far as hotel rooms in Tampa, the night of a Monday night game, Ira, come on. You really think the Eagles fans aren't eating all those hotel rooms? Come on now. You know
That's
better.
True.
You know better than
come on,
that.
Eagle fans sleep in their cars, Steve. They sleep in their cars. They put a blanket over them.
As far as tickets go, there's very few seats available. Super top dollar tickets. But there's a lot on the resale market, and they're not going for a lot of money. So they're still over, you know, there's kind of at face value. So we'll see what the demand is for the game, but there'll be lots of Eagles fans there. That's just how it is. Ira, though, you didn't capture what I was looking for. I mean, Bucks fans, I think they're still confused by watching an offense that just stunk against the worst team in the league. I understand their defense is okay, but the Bucks didn't play well. and they needed to play well. And that's 2 weeks in a row. Yes, they won. A shutout is a shutout, but it is a unique situation with the Panthers. I'm talking about the state of this team. Is this team look like a playoff team to you? What should we feel about the Buccaneers, the team on the field?
Steve, maybe I'm reading too much into it. Maybe I'm being a little naive, Lee. But I have to think, watching Mayfield all year, and I still go back to that play with Mike Evans. Lee, the guy was 10 yards in the open. Nobody near him. And Mayfield throws up a duck that gave the safety enough time to circle back and knock it away. That should have been an easy touchdown, Lee. So I think those ribs are a factor, Lee. It's got to be a factor. I mean,
absolutely. And I'll just tell you this, Ira. I thought they were to begin with. And I had some guy on Twitter that kind of snarkily, if that's a word, came after Steve and I. You're going to have to tell me how sore ribs means you can't throw the ball. I'm sorry how I responded to him. Like, are you in the third grade?
Yeah.
You're telling me bruised ribs don't affect your throwing? Come on.
That's absolutely nuts, Lee. Absolutely.
Yeah, it's absurd. That's completely and totally absurd. And I mean, I'm sorry I went after him like that, but I was that he triggered me. I'm like, you got to be kidding me. But here's the tip, Ira. Here's the tip that those ribs really messed with Mayfield. This is per next-gen stats. You can't argue with next-gen stats. Baker Mayfield did not complete one pass where the ball traveled 10 yards in the air.
Wow. Wow. They had one 20-yard completion to Otten. I don't remember the play, Lee. I don't remember it. But it was probably a 10-yard pass, and then he had 10 yards after the catch. That was it. And Lee, you remember that Mike Evans play, Lee. I mean, that's a terrible play.
Yeah, zip the ball in there. It's a touchdown. You're right. You're absolutely right.
Sage, one thing that Todd Bowles has said a couple of times this week, he said it on Sirius yesterday and in his news conference in less of an extreme way. But Bowles said that a reason that Mayfield stayed out there and that they stuck with him was because he wasn't turning the ball over. He didn't say, well, he was healthy enough to go. He just said he said he was not turning the ball over, right. Which, you know, of course, for a guy like Bowles, you know, that's everything. But frankly, Mayfield, you know, fired a rocket right into the chest of a Panthers defender. He didn't catch it. Threw another ball, went through a Panthers defender's hands. Do you believe that we were that close, those picks, or a pick close to seeing Kyle Trask in that game? Or were the Bucs never putting Kyle Trask in that game?
I think unless he got injured again, Mayfield wasn't coming out of that game. I think they left it in Mayfield's hands. Lee, I remarked by Bowles that he wasn't turning the ball over. You know what that tells me, Lee? That tells me that Bowles felt that if they didn't give the Panthers a short field or a pick six, that the Panthers were not going to score more than 7 points in that game. Maybe he's right. But, Lee, I'll tell you this. If Winfield doesn't make that all-world play, who knows what happens? I mean, that would have been 7-3 Panthers right then and there.
Not just Winfield. Remember, the Panthers had a touchdown call back on a dumbass illegal formation.
They did. They did.
Very easily, and I mean very easily, very easily, in the fourth quarter, it could have been 17-9 Panthers. Bowles' remark about, well, I didn't take Mayfield out because he wasn't turning the ball over, and by the way, Steve's right. He threw the ball three times into the hands of Panthers receivers.
They
couldn't haul the ball in. But that comment right there reinforces a sarcastic comment I've always said about defensive coaches, that they believe turnovers are more important than points. And that comment right there actually confirmed my sarcasm about defensive coaches. It's not a joke. It's a real thing. Turnovers are more important for these guys than points.
Well said, Lee. Steve, the saving grace. First of all, Mayfield has another week to heal up. Although, Steve, he took some shots, and here's point two that I want to make. Say what you want about the Panthers; they're 2-15 for a reason. But, Steve, that's not a bad defense. It's not a bad defense. The offense is just incredibly bad, horrible. You know, Adam Thielen's your best receiver. Now, Adam Thielen's a pro's pro, but he shouldn't be a number one. Yeah, you know, he's got to be a decent number two or number three. You know, Chuba Hubbard. I mean, come on. Offensive line stinks. So, Steve, the saving grace besides an extra week for Mayfield, if he didn't re-injure those ribs. Steve, Philly's pass defense is a joke. It's a joke. Now, Tampa Bay's pass defense is nothing to write home about. See, we've talked, documented that many times on this show, despite the greatness of Antoine Winfield. Steve, here's a couple of things about the Eagles that I want all listeners to understand. Steve, they've given up 35 touchdown passes, and they got 9 picks. Steve, 35 and 9. How do you like that ratio? They got the second worst third down defense in the league. They can't get off the field. And they stink in the red zone defensively. No, third worst. Steve, what the hell happened to a proud defense? I mean, what happened? A year ago, we were lauding them for being 8 deep up front, tremendous in the trenches, great offensive line, great deep defensive line. Didn't they threaten the NFL single season record for sacks last year? Yes, they did. I think they came up one or two shortly. I mean, the all-time record. By the way, they drafted a guy, Nolan Smith. Lee, I don't know if you remember that. Nolan Smith, I think, in the first. They got nothing out of him. Absolutely, it was a bust. Now, it's only 1 year, but they got nothing out of him. They thought he was going to add to the pass rush. Reddick's been okay, not nearly as good as he was a year ago. Steve Fletcher Cox is kind of looking his age. And the secondary stinks. So if Mayfield can heal up a little bit, and Evans and Godwin are healthy, I think they can do some damage in the air, but I'm still worried about the Buck running game. I could just see Lee at his TV last week. Well, what are you doing running between the tackles? What are you doing?
Well, you're absolutely right, Ira, but I sort of understood that as much as they wanted to score points, I think they were trying to protect Mayfield.
Yeah.
I didn't completely understand, but I sort of understood because, you know, they had a, let's face it, they had a handicapped quarterback out there. That next gen stat that I mentioned earlier, they had a handicapped quarterback out there, a guy who couldn't complete a pass over 10 yards. That's a handicapped quarterback. So yeah, they were trying to protect the guy. My big issue is, and I don't know who's triggered more, Steve or me, about this. I think I am, only because I've mentioned it more than once on Twitter, and I've mentioned it, I know, twice on the website, joebucksfan.com. That backwards run that friggin' Chase Edmonds had, that negative 6-yard run, he literally ran backwards. They're on the cusp of field goal range, and they're trying to get a better field goal, and the SOB runs backwards 6 yards. I just went wild at home. And Steve did, too, because I saw what he put on Twitter. Like, what in the hell are you doing? That just blew my mind. And my goodness, why are you running backwards? Do you think you're Jim Marshall? Come on now.
Hey, Steve, to your point about the woeful Buck offense last week, 3 field goals, no touchdowns. And, you know, I talked about Mayfield being hampered, impaired, but that wasn't all of it. And I think that's the implication of your question. You can't pin it all on the bruised ribs. And I'll tell you why, Steve. To me, the most dispiriting aspect of the offense last week, I didn't like the pass protection. I didn't like it.
No.
Derrick Brown, he's a very good player. Very good player. I put him on my second team, all-pro team that I handed in this week at interior defensive line. Very good player. He had his way, Steve, most of the day with that Buck interior. I didn't think they protected Mayfield very well on a day that they knew that they had an injured quarterback. So I'm concerned about it, Steve. Now, the Eagles' pass rush hasn't been great this year, but they got some players, Steve. They got some pass rushers. If the Bucs can't run the ball, that could be a big factor.
Yeah, it was a weird situation, Ira. I mean, if you knew going in, which of course they did, that Mayfield was hurt, and then he messed up his ankle, well, then just have him throwing quick passes. You don't need to set him up to get smacked around. I think they could have been a little more creative there. The running game, we're finished talking about it. It just doesn't work. So I really hope they abandon it here in the playoffs, because what are they clinging to if they stick to it? You threw a little shade, Ira, earlier at Chuba Hubbard. You said, come on, Chuba Hubbard, come on. Well, guess what? He's run for 189 or 90 yards against the Bucks in 2 games, and he's got a bigger yards per carry average than Rashad White, and he's got 200-plus carries himself. So, I mean, Rashad White, what are we talking about? Running the ball, it's just give up on it already. You know, try to be more creative. They really need to not try to establish something. Just go with what's already established against the Eagles. Like you said, they're weak enough where that should work. It was just a strange performance. I don't know. Do you think it speaks to anything about the team and where it's at, or Todd Bowles getting these guys to come out faster, or should we just write it off as, hey, bad weather, injured quarterback, or challenging weather, injured quarterback. The team just needed to grind out a win. They got a shutout. And here we go. This Bucs team has won 5 out of 6. They're much hotter than the Eagles, and they should win this game.
I think what happened, Steve, is during the week last week, they're looking at the films of the Panthers. Lee, they were coming off a shutout, you know, against Jacksonville. Now, look, the first game against Carolina was competitive. I know that. But the Panthers' offense towards the end of the year was awful. They don't have a lot of playmakers. And, Lee, I think the consensus among the coaching staff was we can win this game if we don't beat ourselves. Lee, I think that's just the way it is. I don't necessarily think they're going to think the same way against the Eagles because, really, Bryce Young ain't Jalen Hurts. I mean, let's be honest. And Adam Thielen ain't A.J. Brown, if Brown's good enough to play. They got weapons, and I don't think Chuba Hubbard's as good as Swift in the backfield. Although Hubbard's not bad, to Steve's point. He's not bad. He's average. Maybe a little better. Lee, I think that was the mindset going into Charlotte was they can't score against us. You know, our defense, we got all the answers for them. But, Lee, as you pointed out, they had that touchdown to Chark, and then they had the touchdown called back. So that's a dangerous mindset. That's a dangerous mindset when you play it that conservatively. One breakdown, Lee, and you might get beat.
You're absolutely right, Ira. Very dangerous. And to try to buoy Steve's point, I don't think Bucs fans can be ecstatic over these last 2 weeks. Now, we know the Bucs came out flat. You know, they had a chance to wrap up the division, and they looked like they were sleepwalking against the Saints. And against the Panthers, as you pointed out, Ira, the pass protection wasn't there. The defense played good. At times, they played great. But the first half, did it look like the Bucs came out to dominate? Like, we're going to take control of this game. We're going to make sure we win a division. We're going to put this lousy team out of their misery. They're going to be yelling for the U-Hauls before the halftime's over with. No. And 2 games in a row with a chance to clinch the division title and a playoff berth, and they're not even close to being dominant, not even close to being out physically in the other team. I've got my concerns about this team. You could almost make argument what the Bucs are doing is what the Eagles are doing, only the Bucs were fortunate enough to pull away wins.
You might be right. And, Steve, even the good performance against Jaguars, Steve, you could argue that's a little bit tainted considering how bad the Jags have been the last 6 weeks. Look, it could be viewed as a little bit tainted.
I can't go that far. I mean, to me, that's a little crazy. They came out, they smoked them. What else you want them to do? But I get it. I just wanted to get a sense of the state of what we should think here. I'm very much conflicted. Not really sure what to make of the Bucs right now. I'm awfully glad that they're playing a team that certainly seems extraordinarily beatable. And, you know, it's would be quite an accomplishment for the Bucs to be top 4 in the NFC in this situation with everything that this season entailed going into it, all the things we've talked about.
Steve, would you rather be playing Eagles or would you rather be playing the Rams? I think that one is an obvious answer.
Obviously the Eagles, for sure. 100% play the Eagles. I mean, I watched the Rams smack around the Saints. That was like 3 weeks ago. You know, they just smacked them around. And then the Saints had their 10 days off and came to the Bucs and smacked the Bucs around. So definitely give me the Eagles all day. Got to ask you this, Ira, on a philosophical end. Well, you know what? Let me ask you about Todd Bowles, because why have we not yet gotten an endorsement for Todd Bowles returning in 2024 from either Team Glazer or Jason Light? And I ask that because Jay Glazer, super insider, he's out there on the Fox broadcast talking about, you know, Bowles' status is uncertain. And he put him in the uncertain category. Yes, he gave his opinion, but he still put him out there on national television that Bowles is uncertain. Pat Kerwin is on the radio Monday. Now, we know all of his connections. As a former coach, former NFL executive, as the top dog at SiriusXM NFL Radio, he knows the owners. He knows Todd Bowles. He's in the CBS studio as a producer every week talking to Boomer Esiason and his good buddy Bill Cowher and all that. And he's on the air yesterday, basically starts his show 5 minutes in, starts his show saying, people still think Todd Bowles is going to get fired. And he starts talking about that and how, you know, the owners, he didn't mention Glazers by name. He said they better wake up. So that isn't just coming from anywhere. That isn't, you know, Pat Kerwin reading the comments at JoeBucksFan.com. That, so I don't understand why, and I want your wisdom, why haven't the Bucks made, put the word out that Bowles is coming back? Even if it's off the record, hey, you know, Ira Kaufman reports, you know, so-and-so right. reports, ESPN reports, Todd Bowles will return in 2024. What's going on?
Lee, here's my point on this one. I said he needed to win 9 games to keep his job. He won 9 games, and he won a division. Lee, the dynamic, this is the only thing I can think of, you know, for a guy that's won 2 division titles in a row. That's a fact. Say what you want about the NFC South. Lee, you got the wounded Eagles coming in. You know, you talk about loss of momentum. They've lost 5 of 6, Lee. They're turning the ball over left and right. They got no takeaways. During this 6-game, Lee, during this 6-game tailspin, they got 12 turnovers and 4 takeaways. That's -8. That's not the only reason they're 1-5, but it's a big one. Lee, the way I could look at it is you got the wounded Eagles. Yeah, they're favored, but a lot of people are picking the Bucks in this game. And Lee, the only thing I can think of in terms of Kerwin's report and other reports, and we haven't heard from Light or Glazer on Bowles' security, pending a blowout loss, an embarrassing loss like last year to Dallas. I think that's the only thing that can sink Bowles at this point. Lee, if they're competitive, or for God's sakes, wins the game, you can't fire Bowles if he wins this game. Lee, you can't do that. I mean, that's crazy.
I tend to agree with you, Ira, but I have learned, you know, even though Joe Bucks fan hasn't been around near as long as you have covering the Bucks, I have learned that the Glazers are somewhat unpredictable, but I agree with you on face value. That does look crazy.
Barring another embarrassing loss akin to the Dallas debacle last year in Tampa, it doesn't seem to make any logic to dump Bowles. And if you do that, who knows about Mayfield? I think if you keep Bowles, I think there's a pretty darn good chance that Mayfield will re-sign with the Bucks.
Well, now you gave me two reasons, two steps to go further, two steps. I agree with you, Ira. I agree with you on face value. It sounds crazy, but there are a couple things you might want to keep in mind, one of which we spoke about already, that big fish up in New England.
All right. That's a factor. It's a factor.
Would the Glazers, if they think Belichick is that much of an upgrade, well, Bowles winning Monday night, would that be enough to get the Glazers off the scent of Belichick? If they are already on his scent, I don't know. Number two, Canales is already getting an interview. You have to figure he's going to get more than one. Bye-bye, Bowles. Keep Canales.
I don't think Canales is going to get a head coaching job, Steve. I don't know how you feel. I'm happy that he's being interviewed. I think it's a little premature for him to make that jump at this point. But I'm happy he's in the mix, Steve.
I don't think so, but you never really don't know. I mean, it's been said that David Tepper in Carolina, where Canales is getting an interview or got the request, he could always turn it down. I don't think he will. But it's said that Tepper is using a consulting service. So if you notice, the first three names were guys who've developed quarterbacks or work well with quarterbacks. So Canales right. is in there. I'm sure they'll probably interview 15 people. Well, I don't know how much that means, but we'll see if he gets another interview. I don't know, Ira. I just had to ask you where you think they stand with Bowles. It sounds like you've been very clear, which is, hey, they still want to see one more game. Because I would have to think, Ira, you know what? The Glazers know that the coaching staff, their families are still asking, hey, you know, are we definitely coming back next year? And the agents of the coaches, assistants are, you know, maybe saying, hey, it's not, I'm hearing that maybe you're not coming back. So I'm talking to this guy who might be taking over in Chargers. And, you know, it's messy. You would think you'd want them 100% focused if you can actually come out and say it. So I have to assume they don't know.
I think that's a reasonable assumption. I do think there's a dynamic between Bowles and Mayfield. And I don't know where Light fits in on that dynamic, but just to listen to Bowles talk about Mayfield, it's hard for me to imagine Bowles coming back and them letting Mayfield hit free agency. I don't see that, Steve.
No, it wouldn't make much sense. But you know what, Sage? We'll explore that as we go forward. Just on the quarterback front, Ira, because it is important here how the quarterback finishes for his own free agency and the team. He's got to finish well. You know, you guys mentioned the draft and the Bucks sitting with the down at 19 or 20. I don't remember which one right. they have. You know, if you look at the playoff field, Ira, I'll just run it down real quick. You got the Browns in the playoffs with a quarterback, ancient quarterback off the street. Okay, and then you've got, obviously, the Dolphins, Chiefs, and Texans with a first-round pick in there. But you've got the Steelers with a questionable quarterback situation. You got the Packers with a late first-round quarterback who was sitting for years. You got the Cowboys with a later-round pick at quarterback. The Rams and Lions traded for their quarterbacks. The Eagles have a second-rounder. Mayfield was off the street. Do you think the Glazers are really feeling that they have to? And, of course, Brock Purdy, seventh round pick, and and then you've got Lamar Jackson as a last pick of the first round. You don't have really elite quarterbacks here all across the board as far as elite draft picks. You think that's affecting the Glazers in any way?
I still think ultimately they're dying to get their hands on that guy. Mayfield's played well this year, Lee, but is he ever going to be elite, Lee? Is he ever going to be top eight? Probably not, based on his history. Probably not. Steve's point's well taken, Lee. You don't have to find one in the first round, but you have to find one, Lee. I still think for sustained success, and it depends on how you define success. But Lee, I don't define 8-9 last year and then getting blown out necessarily as a successful season. I mean winning 10, 11, 12 games most years, like the Chiefs. They're dying to find that guy, Lee, and C.J. Stroud could be that guy, Lee. So he's right there. And he's going to do nothing but get better.
Sage, we need a quick energy break, and that means reminding everybody that Wednesdays just got better with $1 wings all day at Big Storm Tap Rooms in Clearwater and Ybor City upstairs in Centro. Ybor, $1 wings. They are fantastic, and of course, they go great with Florida's best craft beer at Big Storm Brewery and their amazing vodka sodas. Sage, the vodka sodas this week, all week, in Odessa, Clearwater, and Ybor City, those tap rooms, buy two, get one free. So it's a great opportunity. They are fantastic. Try a flavor you didn't want before, and maybe take them out to your tailgate, because you got a tailgate in style. All the Big Storm beers, the Bromosa, the Oktoberfest, Wavemaker Amber Ale, BigStormBrewery.com. You can see all the beers, all the menus, all the tap rooms, BigStormBrewery.com.
Lee, you made a great point. I think you made it last week. I think it's worth repeating. Lee, even if they decide to bring Mayfield back, Lee, even if they re-sign him for 3 years, and now, it's 6 weeks later and you got the draft. Lee, if that guy's sitting there at 20 or in the second round and you just have a feeling about that guy, Jason Light's done his homework, his scouts. Lee, I'm taking him, and that doesn't mean the guy has to play. Look at Jordan Love. Lee, the guy looks really good. So you made that point. Just because you don't have to play the guy in year one, you don't, especially if he's not a top five pick.
Patrick Mahomes sat for a full season, and he turned out okay. Ira, I'm going to go a little stat geeky for you here. I don't mean to. I know you don't like the advanced stats and all this, but I came across this over the weekend. It blew my mind. Absolutely blew my mind. So I'll try to keep this short. And that's usually a bad saying. The guys at Football Outsiders, it's dead now, but the guy that started Football Outsiders came up with some kind of calculation about how to properly judge success, both on defense and offense, with quarterbacks, with all kinds of positions. And it's a stat that he came up with 15, 20 years ago, and it's a widely used stat to judge value of players. It's called DVOA. I don't reference it much because I can't define it. Series of multiplications and subtractions, that's just too much. That's like, no. That's like passer ratings. Passer ratings is a complex crap, but Joe Buck loves passer rating. I would love for Troy Aikman to say to Joe Buck, can you explain passer rating to the audience? He'll be met with silence. So that's another reason I don't use passer rating. At any rate, having established that, in the last 10 years, every team but four that have advanced to a conference final, that's 36 out of 40, had a top 10 quarterback in DVOA.
Whatever that thing means, it looks like it's meaningful.
What it means is what I've been saying forever. If you don't have a quarterback, you're SOL.
Yeah.
I was like, DVOA, does that come with a calzone and fries?
I'm thinking cannoli.
Steve, we like to break news on this show, so I'll throw a nugget at you, Stevie. they wanted my All-Pro ballot on Monday, and I forwarded it to them on Monday with the postseason awards. And I'm not going to go into the postseason awards because, guys, that's not going to be announced for like a month. But the All-Pro team, I believe, is going to be announced on Friday. So I am here to tell Buck Nation, Stevie, and I put a lot of time into this thing. My first team All-Pro, Antoine Winfield Jr., safety. Okay, no surprise there. Second team, I have Mike Evans, and there's three wide receiver spots. Mike Evans is on my second team, and I put Lavonte David as an interior linebacker on my second team. Lee, some people, maybe even the guy in AP New York that's going to count the ballots, might look at it and say, three Buccaneers, you know, between the two teams. Yeah, three Buccaneers, Lee. Lavonte David might be the one that's a little bit dicey, but I don't think it's a stretch. Lee, I got three Bucs on my All-Pro ballot between the first and second teams.
I think you said it all there, Ira. You know, I guess someone could argue about Lavonte David, but he's been very important to the Bucs for the Bucs to win a division. I don't know if they're able to do that without Lavonte David. And when you factor in how Devin White's fallen off the map, unless he's motivated for a game here or there, yeah, Lavonte David has darn near carried the interior of the defense. Vita Vea has not had a good season by his standards. But Lavonte David, same old Lavonte David. Guy just shows up and does his job. And so I think when you factor in how guys around him have fallen off, but Lavonte David has not, I think that speaks volumes about how important he's been to a division winner.
And Lee, I didn't put Tristan Wirfs on the team. I think he's had a good year, but I don't think he's had a great year. I think he's had a good year.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You took the words of my mouth. Now, about Antoine Winfield, Ira, Jason McCourty, Good Morning Football, he was on this morning, and he picked his top five defensive backs. That includes cornerbacks, not just safeties. Antoine Winfield, the top defensive back in the NFL this year.
You know, I think it's a strong point, Lee. We're fortunate. We see him every week. I mean, some guy in Pittsburgh, he didn't see Antoine Winfield. Maybe two or three times this year. Lee, every darn week. Now, I didn't think he played well against the Saints. I mean, who did? Very few. But, Lee, the guy makes impact plays. He changes games. And it's been a pleasure watching 31 this year.
Sure has. And McCourty sort of said what you said. He said, this guy makes impact plays every week on every level of the field.
Sage, as long as we're looking at reflecting a little bit on the season, which makes sense on this podcast, given the end of the season and all that, I want you to slap a grade on Todd Bowles and the Bucs defense. Not Bowles, the head coach. Bowles is defense. You've seen it all the way through, the evolution, the Devin White, the pass defense, everything. Obviously, you're scrutinizing everything. But I want to throw one number out at you, which may surprise you. I know you love these nuggets, Ira. You love them. This may even be a Chris Russo worthy when you're on national radio later this week. The Bucs only allowed 30 or more points once all season.
Right.
Only once. Right. Now, the Ravens, best team in the NFL, they can't say that. Best defense in the NFL, they can't say that. The 49ers can't say that. You're going to have a hard time finding anybody who can say that. Now, that's not a definition of a great defense. But I think it's a little telling. I think it speaks to the talent on the defense. But how do you grade this defense and Todd Bowles as a defensive play caller of this defense?
Excellent nugget, Stevie. Excellent nugget. I'm torn between a B, Lee, and a B plus. I mean, I'm torn. The reason I hesitate to the B plus is the pass defense has not been good. It just hasn't. And I don't see improvement from Dean and Davis. I don't see it. Lee, and they got a tremendous year from Winfield, and the pass defense is still lousy. So let's not go crazy. However, Lee, on the other side, Bowles has folded in Kalijah Kansi and Yaya Diaby very nicely. 48 sacks. I'm telling you, I'm just amazed how consistent Bowles is with the sack number. I mean, sacks isn't everything, Lee, but it's important. I mean, 44 sacks, 45 sacks, 47 sacks, 48 sacks. It's remarkably consistent. And the last couple of years, Lee, he's made the transition, which isn't easy. You know, you don't have a double-digit sacker. Not close on this team. Shaq Barrett's not the same player. Lee, we know that. So what do? You spread the wealth, and you have five or six guys that have four and a half sacks. I got to give it up for Bowles in that regard. And Lee, I think think they're like top 10. Steve, am I wrong? Top 10 scoring defense? Something like that? Lee, that's pretty good considering your offense is nothing to write home about. So I think a B or a B plus.
When one of your elements of your defense is the worst in the league, despite having potentially an all-pro player there, I can't go with anything more than a B. So I got to go B minus. You're right about Kansas and Yaya, but I'll quickly counter with what took them so long to get Yaya on the field.
Right.
That San Francisco game springs to mind. Yaya was a dominant force. He had Yaya on the sidelines for over a half. Now, Bowles would say, and he did say, well, he isn't a complete player yet, you know, in insinuating that he's got to work on the run. Todd, your run defense was not the problem. Getting to the quarterback was a problem. One of the guys to fix that was on the bench because you didn't think he could stop the run. I can't glowingly give Bowles a B, much less a B plus. I got to go B minus.
Okay.
He did some good, but there's some issues there.
Where are you on that, Steve?
Let me just throw in as far as, you know, again, the Bucs only allowed 30 or more points once. Even a great defense like the Browns and the good defense with the Cowboys, also just like the Ravens and the Niners, multiple times, three times each for the Cowboys and for the Browns. That pass defense, there's no way I can allow them to, I can't give an A grade, and I can't say that Bowles got the most out of his talent. You look at Jamel Dean, massive regression this season. I never thought he was that good to begin with, but he still took a step back this year, which sort of inexplicable, and a disgusting loaf on that play by Antoine Winfield. He just stopped running when here's Winfield given everything he's got. But he just didn't get the most out of guys, but he did get a lot out of rookies and young players, and he's out there playing with Merriweather and Izzy. And so there's a lot there, but I believed a lot in the talent. So if I just look at the talent, I'm going to give Bowles a B minus.
All right, fair enough.
The Bucs were seventh in points allowed, which is obviously very good. They also didn't exactly play a murderer's row of quarterbacks, so I got to factor that in a little bit. But definitely good enough to win, I would say, 10 games if we had gotten a little bit better from the offense, which I think was reasonable to get. Sage, you know, this has just been a wild week. Is there something you're looking for from the Bucs this week, or even just from angles to this game, things you want to see in the locker room, whatever it is? There's something you want to see this week before the game.
I want to see confidence, which I think I will see in the locker room this week, and I'm planning on going to one Buck. I want to see Bowles take adopt maybe a more confident tone about his guys, more aggressive. And Steve, the biggest thing for me, start fast. And it's a real problem. Lee, it's a big problem with this offense. Big problem. Lee, did I see a stat on TV the other day that they haven't scored a touchdown in their opening possession maybe since week one or something? Steve, am I wrong about that?
The whole season, Ira. They have not scored a touchdown on their first possession all year. They're still looking for it.
Boy, that's pretty damning. They don't go out and grab the game by the throat. They get in the red zone early and they kick a field goal like they did against Carolina. No. You're not playing Carolina. You're playing the defending NFC champs. Steve, go out and score touchdowns and make Jalen Hurts play catch up, and the Bucs will win this game.
It's a great point, Ira. It actually was something I was planning to write up this week. Not in that form, but in the form of the Buccaneers rank 27th in the NFL in first quarter points. And if you want to look at the teams below them, Giants, Carolina, Washington, Vikings, New England, catching a theme there, no playoffs. Just better than them is the Jets and the Titans and Jackson. The Jets, Titans, and Jacksonville. The theme continues. You don't score early. You usually don't have a good season. But the Bucs have defied that. And so that's probably a feather in the defense's cap a little bit. So maybe I should move their grade up to a B. But I'm not doing it, Ira. How about that? I'm not doing it.
Steve, now later in the week, we got to make our Bucs picks. It's going to be very interesting this week.
Yeah. Yeah. Lots to feel out. Lots to study. It's exciting times. I'm really happy, obviously, that the Bucs are here where they are. Really happy Bill Curry Ford is a mile north of Raymond James Stadium. You can shop there before the game. And get yourself a new vehicle to celebrate the Bucs in the playoffs. How about that? BillCurryFord.com. Check out all the offers online. It's there for you right now. If you have storm damage, Florida'sElite Restoration.com. Don't hesitate. Just call them, get the free evaluation, and you can trust them. And that's what you need when you have flood, storm damage, lightning hit your house, whatever it is. Don't wait. And of course, we heard all about Big Storm Beer, the official beer of the Ira Kaufman podcast. We hope fans are drinking that in celebration on Monday night. Ira, you have a final thought here, Sage?
My final thought, Steve, it's been a roller coaster season. Absolutely roller coaster season. And to tell you the truth, guys, and Lee, you're going to love this one. I made a big mistake the other night. I put on this thing called the Golden Globe Awards. Two things struck me. One, the outfits, especially on these beautiful women. Who the hell is picking these fashions, Lee? They're outrageous. They're awful. Absolutely awful. You know, how do you make the most beautiful women in Hollywood look drab? It's amazing. And number two, half the shows and three quarters of the movies I never heard of. So that's my point for this week, Lee. I'm out of touch, Lee, but I'm not out of touch on the Buccaneers, as you're going to hear later in the week.
No, you're not. And Ira, you sound like my old man. That very same subject, he would say, don't these people look in the mirror?
He's not wrong, Lee. He's not wrong.
Well, Ira, you know what? Next time when you break out your handheld old school TV guide, just put a magic mark or black mark right through the Golden Globes. You won't have to torture yourself again. All right, Sage.
All right, Steve, talk to you.
All right.